Take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. Begin reading at verse 22 of chapter 3. And the title of our sermon this morning is, He Must Increase. The He being, of course, Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together as we read from the book of John chapter 3, beginning verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judah. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, the songs that were sung, the offering that was given, and Lord, now the reading of your word. May it be of encouragement to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Let's continue reading verse 28, John 3. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ or the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. They are writing this thought from Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He must increase, but I must decrease. We find here in John chapter 3, verse 22, after these things. After what things? Well, our Lord's conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the Pharisee that came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, who did not ask a question, but Jesus answered it anyways by saying, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. We are all born the first time. We are all born naturally. We think of Simone, who was born about a month ago. Am I right? About a month ago? Close enough? Do you have pictures? More pictures. And we know that life is precious, and she's a very lovely little girl. And you saw in the bulletin that we are asking if you are able to help contribute to some of the health costs of the birth of Simone, if you'd be willing to help out. I'm sure that the church would be glad to give them a check to help cover the costs. And the first birth. But the second birth, Those prices were fully promised when we are covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus came to die so that we could have that second birth. If we have not the second birth, we will die and spend eternity in hellfire. Jesus said that you must be born again. You must come to him asking for forgiveness. You must come to him trusting that he will save our souls. Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus that he had not come to condemn the world, but that they might be saved through believing on him. Lost sinners stand condemned due to their sins, and they remain lost unless they put their trust in him. They must be willing to have faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 23. And John also was baptizing. This John, not the author of the book of John, but this John is best known as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. Herbert Lockyer identifies him simply as the man who was plain but powerful. With the appearance of John the Baptist, we have the burial of the old dispensation and the emergence of the new. He was the foreclosure of the Old Testament and the forerunner of the New Testament. We saw him briefly in our studies in chapter 1, where we mentioned his parentage. He came as a child of promise, born in Judah to a couple who were old. May I say this? I understand when we have grandkids at our house why it's young people who have babies. And not we that are in our 60s. Well, I'm in my 60s. Don and I were the same age at marriage. She is now 53. She just looks 33. Boy, I'm picking points today, aren't I? Yeah. We know that he was ascetic by nature, plain and simple in habit. He was a Nazarite from his birth. He lived in solitude in the desert for much of his life. He was plain in dress. His raiment was humble, consisting of camel's hair. His diet mainly consisted of locusts and honey. He was of plain speech, using picturesque language to warn the people of their need to repent. He spoke of barren trees fit only for burning and vipers fleeing from before the flaming scrub. A number of things we'd like to point out about John the Baptist. The first is found in Matthew, if you would, chapter 3. We find one of self-denial. Self-denial. Quite often, we have a problem. It's called I-ism. We like to bring attention to ourselves. And it says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He was not extravagant. He lived a life of self-denial. Number two, he was a man of courage. If you would, chapter 3 here again, verse 7. John speaking, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He was bold in his preaching. Sometimes we desire to be bold also. But we find that sometimes it's difficult because people many times are not interested in that. We find that he had powerful preaching. If you would, the book of Mark chapter 1, the book of Mark chapter 1. Powerful preaching. Mark chapter 1 verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. If I were to ask you a question, do people like to be told that they need to repent? I would say the majority of you would say no. Number one, we don't want to be told that we aren't right. But may I say this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all need to repent. They all need to come to the Savior. They need to come and say, I am a sinner and I'm lost and I'm doomed and damned and heading for hell. And I need to get things right. And I need to repent. But most people say, no, they need to repent. He needs to repent. She needs to repent. They're sinners. I'm okay. It has well been said, before you can get somebody saved, you have to get them lost. They have to realize that they're a sinner. So we find that there was self-denial. We find there was courage. We find there was powerful preaching. We find there was humility, John said. And let's read what it says in verse 7 of Mark 1. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He was about 6 months older than Jesus. We are told that they were cousins, probably second or third cousins. He is the one that has been preaching, and people are coming to hear him. But he says, there's one that's coming who deserves even more honor than me, and I'm not even worthy to stoop down and undo his shoes. We find humility. It's a hard thing in our world. Like the old song says, it's hard to be humble. And we find that he had a burning zeal. If you would, the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're in chapter 3. Now over to John chapter 5. And may I say this, it's hard to keep the zeal and to keep that energy going. As we grow older, sometimes we become weary. And it happens as we grow older. But John was a man that had a burning zeal. And verse 33 of John 5 says this. Ye sent unto John, and ye bear witness unto the truth. And he bare witness of the truth. But I received not testimony from man. But these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and shining light. May I ask you, are you a light burning for the Lord Jesus Christ? Should we be a light burning for the Lord Jesus Christ? Aren't we to be a light on a candlestick, not hidden under a basket? We are the light of the world. Jesus is the light, and we are to reflect that light. And if we are not reflecting his light, the world is where? In darkness. Why do you think there's so much problem in America today? Because too many who are born again have covered their light. We don't want to be a light. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want them to say, oh, you're intolerant and you're narrow. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is narrow. He tells us that we must repent and we must get our lives right. And John had a burning zeal. If you would, the book of Matthew chapter 11. And I know I'm having you turn to a number of scripture references here, but they're all in the Gospels, so they're all close. We find honor for this man. And we find it here in Matthew 11, beginning at verse 10. Matthew 11, 10, Jesus is speaking. And may I say this, as he's speaking about John or John the Baptist, what would he have to say about you? What would he have to say about me? And it says in verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a testimony. What honor. You know, we all know some special people. Would you agree with that? You know some special people. My son Matthew was over he got in late Friday night and left yesterday. And he and I were talking, and he was asking me about the fact that, you know, about the surgery that I had, which would now be, come May, be a year. How time flies when we're having fun. And so we were talking, and he was asking about how it came about that I knew that I had to do this. And I began to tell him that my family doctor, Dr. Ginnaball, I believe, Jeff, you were the one that introduced me to Dr. Ginnaball. And I thank you. And I thank Dr. Ginnaball for his knowing that I had an issue. And he sent me to Dr. Shervish. In fact, Dr. Ginnaball said, I'm going to send you to one of the best urologists in the Detroit area. Well, that sounded good, didn't it? It's good to go to someone that's good. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Shervish, to me, is a very special man. The very first time he examined me, he said, you're not going to die, but you have some issues. And he says, we're going to take care of you. And as we all know, surgery was performed, and I am now cancer-free. You can say amen on that. Amen. Yes, we're glad for that. But there are special people in our lives. Maybe there's a doctor in your life. Or maybe there's a pastor that was the one that influenced you in your life. Maybe there was a teacher. Maybe there is a special woman in your life. I have a special woman right here. Long time. More years behind us probably than we have before us. I don't want to live another 43 years. Do I hear an amen on that? I don't want to be 106. Oh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? But John the Baptist was a special man. May I ask you this? Can we all strive to be John the Baptist? Is there any reason that we can't be? No. He was committed. Isn't that what is needed in today's Christian world? People who are committed? We need to be committed. It's something that we need to be. May I say this? There are people who are committed to the Detroit Red Wings. Are they going to make the playoffs this year? Thank you, Cindy. But there are people who are committed to the Detroit Tigers, and they haven't even started yet. And they're committed. There are even people who are committed to the 2016-2017 Detroit Lions. Committed. How many of you are committed to work? I worked with a man at Ford's. He had been working for Ford's for 22 years. I've never forgotten this. He had never missed a day in 22 years. Would you say that's being committed? Yes. Do you think we can be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? That was an awful week, folks. And it doesn't surprise me. Because it's hard to be committed to the Lord. Oh, it's fine to be in church on a Sunday morning, but are we willing to be committed 24/7? He was committed. There, he had a true witness. Let me quote to you John 10, verses 41 and 42. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. He spoke about Jesus. And we need to be a true witness. Take your Bibles quickly to John chapter 1, verse 29. We find his testimony. He was willing to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. John 1, 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We cannot take away our sin. We're not good enough. We can't perform enough good works. Jesus died to cover our sins with his blood. But then we see the death of John the Baptist. If you would, the book of Matthew chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 1. His death. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Being very superstitious and being guilty of the death of John the Baptist, he thinks that Jesus has come back and that it is indeed John the Baptist. Verse 3 says, For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. It's not lawful. He preached the truth. And sometimes when you preach the truth, you end up in prison. You end up being persecuted. You end up having even to die as a martyr. And that is exactly what happened to John the Baptist. It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him or before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head on a charger. Spurgeon said that John the Baptist was the first preacher to lose his head over dancing. We find that John the Baptist dies for his conviction. How strong is our conviction for the Lord? You know why John was willing to die? Because in his life, Jesus had increased and he had decreased. Many down through the years, through the ages, through the centuries have died for Christ. They were burned at the stake. They were burned singing and preaching. And it got to the point where they would cover their mouths or make it so they couldn't because they would convict people that were watching. They were crucified on crosses. They were put on poles in waters that receded and came back in again. And they would be put on these, tied to these poles and the tide would come in and they would drown them. They would be put into rat-infested dungeons, chained down, smeared with honey, so that the rats would chew on them. They were put on scales, and then they would put a rock on them, and they put a second rock on them, and they would weigh them down, saying, "Will you recant your faith?" And they would say, "Add more weight, add more weight," and they would be killed. Because they were convicted that Jesus Christ was someone worth dying for. John said, He must increase, and I must decrease. Do we agree with that statement? Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook, we'll sing the invitation, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we ask that you would have the Spirit touch our hearts, especially those who have never accepted thee as Savior. Oh, they may have religion. They may have a head knowledge, but Lord, they've never repented and come in faith, asking for the salvation that only you can give. Lord, we pray that they would get that decision made right today. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.